So today we are honoured to be able to interview a very magical woman. But before I introduce her, I just want you to understand the background of why I have her in today and why I wanted to share her with all of you today. During my journey as a breathwork practitioner and working with women transitioning into pregnancy and birth, I had this deep calling to be mentored by our next speaker. She is a huge inspiration to me, a role model and a spiritual guiding light in my life, and I love her. I know that everyone that she meets, she just touches their heart wherever she goes. We are very, very honoured today to welcome the most beautiful Binny A. Dansby. And Binny is a pioneering, inspired international teacher, facilitator of human transformation. She is also a gifted therapist, philosopher and author. In essence, Binny is dedicated to transforming the quality of life through the acknowledgement of the effects of birth on the human consciousness and culture. Binny began her career as a breath worker in 1975 in New York City. Pre and perinatal psychology is a foundation for the theory and principles and practice she has developed. Binny created and has been teaching source, process and breathwork since 1988. She has supported hundreds of births and says, "Birth is my greatest teacher and guide." So sit back and breathe in every moment with this most beautiful woman.
Welcome to the Nurture Hub Pregnancy and Birth Podcast with your hosts, Shari Lyon and Nicola Lay.
Together, we bring over 30 years of experience in working with women and partners through education, breathing, mindfulness, and evidence-based information, and nurturing you through this transformation into motherhood.
Join us on this journey as we connect with women and partners, mentoring, supporting, and navigating the ups and downs of becoming parents.
We are so excited to have you in here this evening with us, Binny. It's just an absolute delight to have you, to share you to all our listeners.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on with us. Well, it's this morning for you because you're in England and we're on the Gold Coast in Australia, so it's 7 p.m. at night for us. But we wanted to make it work so bad and bring you onto the podcast because I've heard so much about you from Nicola.
Yeah. And what a journey it has been. So, you know, as you've heard at the beginning of the podcast, that Binny and I have been on a beautiful journey together talking about breath and about how to hold space for women in the world at the moment and, you know, and what an interesting world we're living in right now. Yes. And I'd love for you to perhaps just give us your idea of what women are facing or what people are facing in the world right now and you know, just the chaos and the anxiety and people's sort of layers or who they are as a person. Is they're being really seen at the moment, aren't they?
Yes. I you know, I work from a very fundamental belief that we are impacted and influenced by our prenatal and natal experience. So what I'm seeing a lot in the chaos, in the fear, in the either rejecting authority or just bowing to authority, is what happens in high-tech births that we have been being developed over the last 150 years, and most especially in the last 50 years, is the takeover of women's bodies and consciousnesses. And so the world of birth is actually no different than what seems to be happening with the us and them, the women who have home births and then the women who choose not to have home births. I think birth, the conception, gestation, and the pregnancy is a highly potent time for self-exploration, self-healing, which is not only advantageous and beneficial to the mother, but to her whole family and her baby. So I think, so much of the healing of the chaos is to relax and take a look at what you think you've done wrong. Because I deeply believe that chaos and confusion are a direct result of guilt, blame, and shame in the consciousness. And so consequently, I deeply believe that that comes directly from birth. My very first breathwork session was with Leonard Orr, 1975 in New York City. And the only people who had, experienced this thing that he was beginning to call rebirthing was a group in San Francisco in the house where he lived. So I was the first person in New York to have a session. And it was because I had met him talking about something else. I was invited to a little seminar that he did at my Rolfer's house, apartment. And the speaking about birth was incidental, quite literally. He started talking about Frederick LaBoyer's book, Birth Without Violence, and that they were going into a hot tub with snorkels and nose clips, and they thought they were re-experiencing their births. And he said, birth has a huge impact on our thinking and our consciousness. And I got, like a sock in the solar plexus. It was just this enormous explosion and a yes. Well, the thing is, I didn't like him very much. Anyway, I found myself asking him for one of those sessions because I was deeply, I had a felt experience of, oh my God. Now, I had had two babies, one very difficult birth that I found out later was almost identical to my own, except for the forceps. I had forceps. My first son did not. I declared there has got to be a better way to birth a baby on the way home from the hospital. And I said, I'm not going to do this again. I was very certain I was never going to do that again. It just didn't make sense to me at all. I said, we must know more about ourselves. And then I, at the La Leche League breastfeeding mothers meeting, I found women who had had Lamaze deliveries. And my second baby, 2 years later, 2.5 years later, was a painless birth. Breathing, supported, connected, connected with my body. And I had an orgasm when he presented, a full-on expanded state of consciousness. And I think probably nothing was ever the same after that. So then we fast forward to 1975, that was 1968. So 7 years later, approximately, anyway, there I am in a a sunken jacuzzi bathtub in my lover's home in New York City. And Leonard Orr, my lover's wife, who was ex-wife, who was a friend of mine, and one of his twin sons, who was 18. And I mean, you know, everybody was like, what is going to happen with this very curious kind of situation, right? Leonard's friend, who was traveling with him, Ilana Linz. And what I remember is that I was extremely nervous. I thought it was because I was naked and had this snorkel and nose clips. And I had never, ever, I'd been naked many times, but I had never used a snorkel and nose clips. And I went into the water, and it wasn't many breaths until I dropped into a non-ordinary state, an exceedingly non-ordinary state. The next thing I knew was that I was curled up in Ilana Linz's lap, sobbing, saying, I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean to do it. And I realized as I came more into my everyday self that I had dropped into a realm that I had read about, but I had not. I definitely touched my subconscious in an extraordinary way, and realized that I had been carrying guilt about my mother's pain at my birth. So I continued to explore this with devotion, because if I'm interested in something, it gets not my 100% attention. At that point, I had two small children, two young boys, who I was totally financially responsible for. So I had to go to work as well every day, but I was working as a designer. And so my friends and I were experimenting with this breathing process in the water. And along the way, probably, you know, 6 months later or something, I don't remember exactly the date, but I had I was having a really full body experience with the breath, and my body was full of energy, I'll just put it that way, some pain, but I was breathing into it and it was expanding. And I came up out of the water and I said to the woman who was sitting with me, I have to take this to pregnant women. Because if they can, and this was such a primitive thought, but I said, if this is the energy that terrified me when I was in labor, and if a pregnant woman can experience all of her energy and breathe with it, integrate it, emerge with it, then her labor will be less full of fear. If she can experience it before, then she can move into labor welcoming it, because she has the breath to help her. That's what I said. The woman who was sitting with me said, that's nice, go back. Keep breathing. So I did. But 5 years later, I had left my job that nobody could understand why I was leaving. It was not nothing, this job that I had and the career that I had wanted. I had left that, moved to California with my babies. And started working with simply doing breathwork sessions. which is what I still do. I work with pregnancy and birth, and I work with, well, I think everyone is giving birth all the time. We're all pregnant. Mm-hmm. Everyone is pregnant with dinner, if you will. You know, you conceive dinner and you go and you shop and then you produce the result. So I use pretty much the same work and techniques, whether I'm working with a business, and I've done that, with an individual or with a pregnant woman. The creative process is the creative process, and conception, pregnancy, and birth are the perfect metaphor. Mm. So I don't remember what the question was, but that's how I got here.
I love that. I love listening to you talk. Your stories are just fascinate me. I'd really love for you to share that beautiful, the water birth that you facilitated. It'd be so amazing to hear that story.
Mm. Well, I met a couple on my birthday in 1979, in November. They came to a loving relationships training that I had organized for Sandra Ray in San Diego. And we discovered that they lived very near me. And they had a four-year-old son, and I invited them to come and swim in my pool. And before the end of the weekend, they asked me if I would work with them in couple counseling. And I said yes. And so I was doing most of my work in water, in my hot tub. I found it amazing that I had come from New York and going to a high-rise office every day and living in a high-rise apartment building. And here I was in San Diego in a house on the side of the mountain with a view of the ocean and a hot tub and a swimming pool. And I could, and I was making a living in the water. It was so wonderful. Anyway, we did couple counseling, and then one day I was in the supermarket and I saw this supermarket newspaper, but there was a picture on the front as I was standing in line of a woman giving birth in water. And I looked very carefully because it's one of those newspapers you don't let people see that you picked it up and bought it. Anyway, the National Enquirer, I think it was. Anyway, I did pick it up while I was standing in line, and I read about this Russian Tchaikovsky who was supporting women to birth in water to create super athletes. But I thought, you know, this is the perfect way. I got one of those big yeses in my solar plexus and my whole body. And I bought the newspaper and didn't care what anybody thought at that point because it just felt right. I got home and I was really thinking about this. And I don't know, it's just a few hours later, I'm telling you, Patrick and Jaya walked in, the couple, with the same newspaper. And they said, "Have you seen this?" And I said, "I've seen this," and I picked up mine, you know. And, well, we did not know, and this is true, we did not know at that point that they were maybe a few hours pregnant. Anyway, they were pregnant at that point. And it was almost as I had said when I gave birth to my first son and came home from the hospital, there's got to be a better way, and I'm going to find it. We worked through the 9 months they worked with me. We did breath work. We talked about fears. They had had a very traumatic first birthing experience with their four-year-old son. And what we intended was to bring forth a being who didn't have to forget who he was. We wanted the gentlest entry for this being. That was the fundamental intention. And we, in all of our research, we thought that water was just the ideal way. I went to see a doctor who was very well known and I had met a few times in the alternative field, but he was a regular medical doctor. And I told him what we were planning to do and showed him the thing about Tchaikovsky. We couldn't get any information from Russia at that time. He looked at me and said, "Benny, the baby will drown." And I called his name and said, "Look, I have a degree in design and art history, and I know the baby's in water now, and it's not drowning." He said, "Yes, but this is just too stressful. It's too dangerous." But, and we forged forward, and Jeremy was born into water in November and October, the end of October. He's a Scorpio like me. in 1980. And he was a very big baby. He weighed 11 and a half pounds. And he was caught by his father. There was a group of us met, all of whom were working with the breath at the time, who intended to support the birth. And so we met a few times talking about our fears, getting, calming, moving into a parasympathetic state, if you will, around it, releasing our fears or being able to resolve and bring ourselves present. Jeremy was actually attached to the umbilical cord and underwater for 20 minutes, being held by his father. And as I looked, he was in the womb with his mother and father, and he was asleep. He went to sleep. He was just... So then we had agreed that just the two of them and I would be the only people who would hold him for some weeks. And Jaya was very, very in touch with her body, and she knew when the placenta was detaching, and she said, "It's time." And so she stood up to step out, get out of the water, and Patrick had the baby. Well, she said, "Oh," and we saw that the placenta was delivering. So I grabbed the placenta. Okay, so here we were. And so I put the placenta in the bowl that I had arranged to have there for it. And Patrick, wanting to support her, handed me the baby. Okay, so I'm standing here with a baby and a cord going into a bowl. And I'm breathing, and the baby is totally relaxed. He was completely calm. I had had a dream about soaking soft cotton wraps, baby wraps, in apricot kernel oil. And so that's what we did. And they had brought those warm blankets to me, and we put those over the baby. And I'm standing there knee deep in water with this and with the baby, and he's breathing, you know, like rapidly, like babies do. And his little eyes are closed. He's just relaxed, going. And I had the thought, oh God, I get tears when I think about this. I had the thought, I think it's time for a deep cleansing breath. And he went, and then opened one eye and looked at me.
Wow.
And I knew, beyond the shadow of a doubt, what I had known. It was simply confirmed for me. His pure consciousness, he knew precisely what was going on. And every baby does. And so it hurts my heart that babies are virtually attacked at birth, rubbed, and I mean, not listened to, because they're communicating. And if we listen, and that listening can begin before pregnancy, really, and definitely during pregnancy, because then you begin the individuation process. There is no separation. If we are going to teach connection, that we are all connected in consciousness, then start before birth. Start during pregnancy, listening to your baby, because the guidance is there. That being will let you know exactly who it is, what it needs. And then it knows itself to be an individual. I think someone asked me one time, if you were certain that someone was listening, that the world was listening, what would you say? And I immediately said, do not separate babies from their mothers. The baby and the mother need one another. They are one unit. And just because the baby comes out, I mean, you know, we're born 2 years early, because if we carried our babies to full gestation, then we wouldn't be able to birth them. You know, it would be detrimental to mother's body. So, you know, they're not, you know, they come out, they can't jump up and run. They are helpless, but they are absolutely conscious about what's happening. And most of us, that first breath, we take in so much fear, the fear around us. And the temperature drops, we've never had hands on us. We've been in water with soft tissue all around us. Our ears, we hear in the womb, but very differently when there's not water in them. The temperature is right for people who are wearing clothes and are dry. It's horrifying. And then, you know, with that first breath, if we're startled into it, and most babies are, because people are terrified, they're not going to breathe. You know, they don't just kind of take their time and acknowledge that they're getting oxygen and nutrients from the umbilical cord. They cut the cord like immediately. Now there is some consciousness from TikTok that, well, you know, wait for 15 minutes or something. My goodness, you know, it's like the first breath is air on the skin triggers that first breath. And then the lungs have to open. They haven't been open. None of the major organs has been operating at all. So the blood flow changes. And just imagine being in the middle of a river when it changes course, you know, it's like, and blood flow changes and all of the major organs have to come online. I mean, we expect our babies to boot up faster than we do our computers. And that is not an exaggeration. So I think most people are walking around in shock, actually.
Do you think that the change over the centuries of birth and birth becoming so medicalized now, you know, what do you feel is the effect on the babies and the mothers? I know you've mentioned fear, and that's something that Nicola and I, that's what we do in our work, is the fear is there before women are even pregnant because of social conditioning and media and movies and stories and things like that. But with what you do in the breath, like what have you seen the effects of the breath being able to help women with the change that birth has now become so medicalized? How do you feel the breath helps them in such a medicalized system now that has just become normal?
Well, I think the breath, number one, gives you access to what you're really feeling. I know that you work with hypnobirthing, and I did extensive training in hypnotherapy many years ago with a master. And I came to realize that the breath, to me, was the best induction of all. The breath takes you right inside, and it supports you to expand, to handle higher and higher levels of energy. Now, you began with what I see is the effects of the highly medicalized births, is that we have society, people have triple locks on their doors.
Yes.
They're terrified of and follow authority like it was, you know, it's just amazing, because they don't feel safe. They want safety from outside. People don't think they're supported. People think there's no one here for me. I mean, that's a result of being separated immediately from mother. These bottom line thought forms that I call archetypal are, it's not safe to be in a body. My body's not safe. And then that extends out. There's no one here for me. I'm going to have to do this all by myself. And you can hear those. You can hear those walking down the street in a busy city. You can hear somebody say, yeah, I have to do this all by myself. You know, it's like, and then that extends to my body hurts. The biggest selling over-the-counter product is painkillers. And when we kill pain, we literally kill the body. But everybody's in pain. People are in pain. We're born in pain, through pain. So we have a culture that's not safe, doesn't think they're supported. So it's difficult to receive, and they're in pain. And they think they have no choice about it. And that's the kicker. Because no one's listening to me, so I don't learn to listen to me. And in that situation, there's something dreadfully wrong. And you can pick up any newspaper and the headlines are all about wrong. Yeah. We don't get a lot of good news in the headlines, you know? And wrong is the basis of guilt, blame, and shame. So you have people who are not expressing themselves fully, not really even able to say, I love you from their heart of hearts. And if I can't express myself fully and I'm not sure whether I'm dangerous or you're dangerous, because an infant doesn't know, you know, why is this happening to me? I mean, they don't know, you know, and probably don't even, you know, it's not about a question. It's like working with people, re-experiencing, remembering their births, the thoughts that come up is, I'm not safe. There's no one here for me. Not, I wonder if they're where everybody is, but just there's no one. They're very, you know, very straightforward thought forms come up. So it makes it very difficult to connect.
Yeah.
And to understand that we are a part of something. We come from intimacy. I call that relationship with mother the original intimacy. And I haven't done extensive research in the way that a scientist might, but in my own anecdotal research with clients for the last 50 years, I notice that the patterns in relationship directly relate back to the patterns that were established in the way they were separated from their mothers, the way they separated from the original intimacy, how soon they came back to it, what they felt, how they experienced it, and whether they truly were ever able to surrender or not. Joseph Chilton Pierce was very eloquent about, in I can't remember which book, but he wrote about the fact that babies have very real expectations. And if those expectations are not met, especially by the mother, they feel betrayed by the world. And because mother is the world, mother, ma, material, matter. You know, in Denmark, the word for mother is more, you know, and we always want more mother. It's like, and grandmother is more, you know. I just, language is fascinating to me, but it's just truly, truly important to support women to expand in the breath, to move deeper into their own authority, to move deeper into their own senses about what is right and what is wrong. Because the truth is that medical community, big pharma is working for you, not the other way around. But women go, and it's not about being aggressive. It's about knowing oneself. And we can get there with the breath, and with shifts in consciousness to, my body is safe, I can do this. No matter how I'm feeling, I can expand and handle higher and higher levels of energy. And just think of the effect of the on the next generation. You know, we're coming, every pregnant woman is coming to pregnancy with at least the baggage, if you will, or the memories of three generations. The egg that created her was in her grandmother's body. Her grandmother, you know, so it's like we're coming forward. And when you begin to heal your own birth and your own thoughts about birth during pregnancy, you are healing the past and the future, because the baby that's inside your body is receiving all the teaching, is receiving all the shifts and transformations. That baby is becoming. And what is the thought soup, if you will, that your baby is becoming in? It's important to think about.
That's so beautiful, isn't it? I'm getting teary. Shari's getting tearful. And I guess that means a lot for you from your own birth, doesn't it?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I think because I've spoken about this in past episodes and it's just really coming to, it's really coming to an awareness of me now and, yeah, my own experience of my own birth, but then how I healed that through the birthing of my children. So, yeah,
beautiful.
Just what you were saying just really hit me. I'm sorry.
Oh, never, never, ever miss an opportunity to cry. I get so happy when a pregnant woman reports to me, I just burst into tears in the supermarket the other day. I said, yes. It's like you're ready. You're getting ready. You know, it's like, it's so important to remember that we're in labor. We are in birthing mode from the time we get pregnant, that uterus is contracting. Gentle. You know, when I think about this gentle little hugs that the baby is receiving, you know, and when you can get in touch with that and relax, then you come into labor when those hugs get really strong, you know, that the surges are, wow, you know, we're getting there, we're coming home, you know. Oh, there's, I think, yeah, the most important, not the most important, but an important thing for a woman to remember, and I've seen labors turn around when a woman was reminded that she wasn't alone, that her baby's there with her.
Yes.
So many of us came through the bodies of women who, I did anyway. My mother was terrified. My mother was a feminist. She was a career woman. Birth absolutely terrified her. And I'm so deeply grateful that I was the first baby, because it got worse, not better, with my brother's births. She had gave birth three times. And her fear, with her fear, she caused such great damage to her body. Because when we're terrified, we contract, we hold on, we pull in, no, you know, and I mean, I think a lot of the damage that women blame on birth is actually their own fear and contraction, so that it's almost like the baby has to break through in order to come, you know. But anyway, my mother wasn't pregnant. It was not pregnant. She was pregnant. She was not present at my birth. They over-ethered her. And so I think it's so very important that we do whatever we can to relax, to be able to open to more and more energy. I advocate yes and thank you with contractions, with those surges, because yes, even scientifically has been proven to open. You know, you keep your eyes open, open your throat, relax your jaw, open your high chest. As above, so below. The body, I have experienced, I have seen women not pushing until it was just absolutely something they could not do, you know, because the body was birthing the baby. That's so exciting. Mm.
It is.
And I know it's what's possible.
Yeah. It's so possible. Yeah. What would you say to a mother who, because we have many second time mothers, I think, who be listening to us because of their first experience, that just right. like you have said, there has to be a better way. Yes. But, you know, hearing this can also maybe be a bit confronting if they were separated from their baby or that they didn't feel connected. So what would you say to them right now if they are pregnant with their second or third or even fourth baby and they're only now just really realizing that they can be present and they can be in control of this next experience?
What I can say is that mother is the great teacher. As mother unfolds, as mother learns new things, her children blossom into that space. So one thing I know is extremely powerful is that when a mother thinks that the way she gave birth is wrong, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, and she feels guilty about it or wrong about it, she diminishes her child. She diminishes her own experience. Every birth is perfect for the people involved at that time. I personally think that birth in and gestation coming in is a co-creative process, and that we choose in consciousness. So if your first baby was a dramatic cesarean section, that's what that being actually needed and wanted. That's what you, your husband, everybody around needed and wanted at that time. And that as you expand, as you transform, your children see that. We teach by example. Mm. They see, oh, wow, this is what's possible. So it's really important to thank your children for loving you so much. Mm. To say thank, literally out loud, thank you for loving me. Thank you for coming through me, for choosing me and not the lady down the road, you know? It's like, because we're here together for a reason. So that's what I would say.
It's a beautiful way.
Because we're always, if you're not growing, my darling, you're dying. Mm. So it's, every birth is, I mean, goodness gracious, it's a dramatic expansive, enlightening experience. So what each one of them is perfect for that child. And then as you grow, that child gets to watch you heal, gets to watch you expand. And oh, wow, that's what's possible. I think.
It feels perfect.
It does.
Yeah. Oh, Binny, it's been, we could talk to you for hours, as I always love to do regularly with you. You're such an inspiration to women all over the world, birthing all kinds of things in life. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom.
Well, thank you both. I'm so grateful for the ones of you who have taken it upon yourselves to support, to ask questions. You know, the quality of the question determines the quality of the answer. Answers are inherent in questions. And the two of you are so interested, curious. I can see, you know, I realize this is only audible for people, but I can see you. And you are so beautiful and so present. And it's such a blessing to all the people who listen to you. And your guidance is a benefit to the world. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We hope that you've enjoyed this episode and that it's helped you on your own journey. We would love it if you would subscribe and leave us a review.
To learn more about our individual online or face-to-face courses or be mentored by us for your own birth, please see our show notes for the links to our programs.